The letter of James, chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 19 to verse 25. The letter of James, chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. I've entitled my message, Three Important Spiritual Practices. Amen. Three Important Spiritual Practices. Verse 19, my brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is not so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. In other words, it is the word that brings us to that realization and the understanding of what Christ really did for us. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it, but does not do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Amen. They will be blessed in what they do. You know, I'm sure most of us are familiar with this passage of scripture. This letter was written by James, traditionally believed to be James, the brother of Jesus, who came to lead the Jerusalem church. Yeah. And in the letter, he identifies the recipients of the letter as the 12 tribes who are in the dispersion, meaning Jews living outside of Israel. You know, and before we get to this verse, in the verses above, James addresses their temptations, saying, count it all joy. Okay, let me say that again. Count it all joy. Why count it all joy? Because the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. The testing of your faith will produce perseverance. So, whenever you go through something in your journey with Jesus, count it all joy. We looked on a similar topic last week about rejoicing. Rejoicing when you're facing trials. And we get to today, and what is James writing to the dispersed believers? Count it all joy when you're facing lots of trials and tribulations. Because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In other words, what you're going through right now is producing something in you if you see it through the lenses God has given you to see. Yeah. You see, what we're going through right now is producing things of the Spirit in our lives. But we have to learn to count it all joy, which is a very difficult task. He goes on to counsel them and encourage them to pray for wisdom. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let them ask. Okay, if you need wisdom, if you're lacking some sort of direction in your journey, ask God. And he also says, pray in faith without doubt. Pray in faith without doubt. So we pray. We looked at last week why it was so important to stand in prayer during these times that we're going through. But we have to stand in prayer, but at the same time, we have to stand in faith. Andrew mentioned it. We have to stand in faith, knowing that God is in control. To the world, it might look as if the government's in control, but in reality, God is in control. Amen. God is in control. Whatever is going to happen will happen, and God is in control. With nothing to fear, God is in control. Then he instructs them not to focus on the present trials, but to rather face them and endure temptation, because there is a great lesson and crown awaiting for those who endure it. Then he counsels them not to think temptations as something that is sent by God. Temptations don't come from God. It is not of God. See, God does not tempt anybody. You know, that goes completely against the word of God. God does not tempt you. The enemy, the tempter, Satan, he tempts us in ways that he thinks that we will fall into. But as long as we hold on to Jesus, as long as we stay connected to the fellowship, to the body of Christ, to the word of God, to Jesus himself, he will give us the strength to endure and face the temptations with strength. Amen. Then we get to verse 19, okay? So James is telling all these scattered believers that they are to count it all joy, and if they lack wisdom, they are to ask for wisdom, and to know that God is in control, and also to not give in to temptation, but stand strong, knowing that God is there with them. Now he gets to verse 19, and he says, "My brothers and sisters, take note of this." In other words, hold on to this. Don't disregard it. Take note of this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Everyone should be quick to listen. He writes, everyone should be quick to listen. This brings us to our first spiritual practices. The spiritual practice of listening. The spiritual practice of listening. Not just listening for the sake of hearing, but the listening for the sake of receiving and learning. Not only that, but growing. Amen. Receiving, learning, and growing. See, what does Paul say to the church in Philippi? We looked at this last week. What you have heard and received. Okay? So he says, what you have heard. Because sometimes we can hear something and we can completely disregard it. But he goes on to further and he says, what you have heard and received from me. Listening is receiving. And we need to understand the importance of filtering while listening. Filtering while listening. Not everything that you hear is good for you. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So everything out there is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So we have to be quick to listen. Listening is a choice. For those of us who are taking notes, Proverbs chapter 27 verse 9, Proverbs chapter 27 verse 9, it says, oil and perfume makes the heart glad. So a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 15, Proverbs chapter 12 verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Amen. A wise person is he who listens to counsel. Proverbs chapter 14 verses, Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14. Proverbs 11 verse 14, it says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Amen. Wow. In abundance of counselors, there is victory. Praise God. Let's be that church where we will have abundance of counselors. Amen. Where we will be counseling one another, encouraging one another, helping one another to move forward. Even Jesus in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus is giving out the parable of the sower and all the listeners are there, Jesus uses this statement, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. That's a strange statement, isn't it? Because ears are meant to be hearing and listening. But Jesus says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. You see, for thousands of years, Jewish people have prayed the well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God, which is called Shema. Shema, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Shema, which is very close to people, which was very close and still is close to people in Israel who love the Lord. And it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 dies from. You see, the Shema was and is a pledge of alliance to the Lord God of Israel that excludes alliance to other gods. So when you're confessing the Shema, what you're declaring is, there is only one God. You're declaring to the principalities, there is only one God. But you're also singling yourself out, stating to the world that I follow this one true God. And there are no other gods for me except for Yahweh. As we dig into this word Shema, we understand that this Shema has more than one understanding. Okay, and the first understanding can be found in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12. The author writes, ears that hear and eyes that see. So ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. So the eyes that see and ears that hear, the Lord has made them both. You see, so in the original Hebrew, when you read it, we read it this way. Ears that Shema. In other words, ears that hear, ears that Shema, and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. So the first explanation of this word Shema is hearing. Hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. I Shema. I hear the voice of God. The second explanation is found in Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. And it's a very famous account of Jacob and Laban's daughters, Rachel and Leah. See, Jacob, he loved Rachel. It was love at first sight. Jacob saw Rachel and Jacob saw how beautiful Rachel was. And Jacob, so doing the good man, he goes to her father and he wants to marry Rachel. So the father goes, "All right, if you want to marry my daughter, you have to work for how many years? 7 years. Okay? So he works for his father, a father-in-law, thank you, for 7 years. And what does the father-in-law do? He deceives him. So he gives him his other daughter. And her name is Leah. Okay? So the next morning, Jacob's furious. He's like, "Hold on a second. You know, what happened to Rachel?" You know, so Leah's not explaining to Jacob what had happened. So Jacob's furious, fuming. He goes back to his father-in-law and he says to his father-in-law, "Father-in-law, what you've done to me?" Okay, and father-in-law says, "You know, she's the oldest. So she has to go first before I give you my other daughter." Okay, so now what does he do? He says, "So I'm ready to work for Rachel again." So he does another 7 years. So altogether, 14 years he worked for Rachel. So, continuing with the account, what we see is Leah feels unloved by her husband Jacob. Okay, and when we get to scripture, it's found in Genesis chapter 29, verse 33. Genesis 29:33. See, so when Leah wasn't loved by her husband Jacob, she had a son and she named him Simeon. In Hebrew, it means Shimon. Okay? The Lord has heard that I am unloved. The Lord has Shimon that I am unloved. But if we look deeper into that word, the Lord has Shema that I am unloved. So the first explanation of Shema is God hears. Okay? The first explanation, I Shema, I hear God. I want to hear from God. The second explanation is, Shema means God sees and pays attention to our prayers. So when we bring ourselves before the Lord to hear from Him, He pays attention to every single word that comes out of our mouth. He sees us. God saw that she was unloved. And therefore, God gave to her a son, Shimeon. The Lord has Shema that I'm unloved. And thirdly, the explanation, the word Shema also means responding to what you hear. Okay, so the first one is hearing. Shema means hearing. Ears that hear. So I bring myself to that place where I'm ready to hear from God. The second explanation of Shema is when I'm ready to hear from God, God pays attention to every single word that comes out of my mouth. And third explanation is found in Psalm 27. Amen. Psalm 27, verse 7. It says, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me." In other words, shema my voice when I call. Be merciful to me and answer me, Lord. So what does the Lord do? The Lord answers to him, his cry. So first thing of Shema is you bring yourself to that place where you're ready to hear from God. Second explanation of Shema is when you bring yourself to that place, God pays attention to your prayer. Third explanation of Shema is when you are in that place, God answers your prayer. Amen? God answers your prayer. So asking God to Shema is asking at the same time for God to do something. God, please Shema. God, please do something. Like in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. You know, it says, "Now if you obey me and fully keep my command, my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession." So here's the thing. If you do this, you will receive this. That's Shema. If you do this. So in other words, in biblical view, listening is basically keeping the covenant. Listening is keeping the covenant. See, the perfect example is also found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. And here we have the account of Solomon. And he reads from verse 7. "Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" So Solomon is in that position of leadership now. And in his encounter with the Lord, it says in verse 8, he asks for a discerning heart. A discerning heart. You've heard me use this word quite often. The Hebrew, beautiful Hebrew word, Lev Shomia, or Lev Shomai. Lev Shomai, which means listening heart. So when Solomon's asking for a discerning heart, what he's asking for is, "God, give me a listening heart so that I may listen to you and nobody else. So I may listen to you and nobody else. Give me a listening heart." So that spiritual practice of listening, Shema, "Lord, I'm here to hear from you. I'm ready to hear from you." And after you bring yourself to that place of hearing, God pays attention to you. And when God pays attention to your prayers, He will certainly answer your prayers. Amen? He will answer your prayers. But there's that key word which Andrew mentioned earlier on. You and me, we have to wait for His timing. His timing is always perfect. We think that we have the perfect timing, but our timing is not perfect. But His timing is always perfect. Amen. Solomon was king for such a time as this. And he asked for a listening heart. And what happened when he stopped listening to God? He went astray. And that's why it's so important that we continue to practice the spiritual practice of listening. We have to continue to listen. Amen. Not just hear, but we have to continue to listen so that we receive directly from God. The second practice is this. The spiritual practice of speaking. Amen? The spiritual practice of speaking. Talking to God. Before going to anybody about anything, please go to God first. Please go to God first. Go to God with it. So what is your it? Your it could be heartache. Your it could be bitterness. Your it could be sin. Your it could be career. Your it could be unforgiveness. What is that it that you are carrying in you at this very present moment? God sees that it in you. And the reason we don't experience full blessings of God is because that it stops us from receiving from God. So we have to take that it to God, and God will deal with our it.
Amen?
Amen? Yes. God will deal with our it.
Yes.
It's possible, amen? Everyone say with me, it is possible.
It is possible.
Whatever that you're struggling with, time to let go. It is possible. Time to let go of it so that God can deal with it and God can give you something that is always has been waiting for you in store.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't let that it stop you from receiving God's blessings. Amen. See, the enemy wants us to stay silent and quiet, but the Lord wants us to have a voice. God wants us to have a voice. Gone are the days where you were quiet and silent. Look at Louise. Gone are the days where Louise was silent. Now we're like, come on, Louise. Shh. See, when you come to God, God gives you a voice. But the enemy always whispers in your ears. See, that's what Jesus said, those who have ears to hear. See, the enemy always whispers in our ears. But God also speaks in our ears. So those who have ears to hear, let them filter the words they hear so that they can receive what is of God and they can disregard what isn't of God. See, we are the voice in the wilderness. We are God's mouthpiece. We are God's word to the world. We are God's word to the world. See, it's time for church to speak out. I believe it's time for church to speak out. It's time for church to do something. Or it's time for church to do the thing that God has always intended the church to do. To go out, to rule and to reign. And to speak out the truth, to declare the truth, and to name what is wrong, wrong. If something is wrong, church has to tell it it's wrong. If something's right, church has to say, listen, this is right. Church needs to raise its voice, amen. Church, we are a body. And we are the Bible that world has never read. And now it's time for world to read the Bible. So how are you giving the word to them? What do they see in you? What do they see in you? See, in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9, it says, speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up. Amen. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. See, church, you have a voice. You have a voice. You are ministers of the gospel to the world. You and me, we are ministers of the gospel to the world, and we have been commissioned by the Lord to go with His message. Amen. To go with His message. See, and there's few things we need to understand as we go. Few things we need to understand as we go. First thing is this. We do not go independently. We do not go independently. We are a corporate body. We are a corporate body, and we have to be accountable to His body. We are His body, and we have to be accountable to His body. See, I cannot operate without His body. I cannot operate without Him. Me operating without His body is me operating without Him. See, sadly, we have a lot of these, free preachers, free ministers who are not accountable to His body. And if they're not accountable to the body of Christ, they are not accountable to Christ. See, and when, if anybody comes to you and tells you this is the word of the Lord for you, ask them, what church do you go to? Ask them, how's your relationship with the Lord? Ask them where they are in their spiritual journey. That's what we have to filter through the words. We have to filter everything and anything that we hear. Because this is one of the passages to our heart and to our spirit. And this is something that I've learned over the years. I'm not going to let anybody speak something in me just for the sake of speaking in me. So what I've learned now is I filter through the words. And one thing is, don't act straight away. If somebody said something to you, receive it, filter through it. Filter through it. Because God will show you what is of God and what is not of God. Okay? What is of God and what is not of God. But ministers of the gospel, they do not operate independently. Second thing, ministers of the gospel, they seek wisdom and guidance from God and from His body. It's always body ministry. It's always body ministry. See, they prioritize the word of God. They prioritize the word of God. If I'm not preaching the word of God, then I should stop preaching. Because all preaching should be from His word. Amen. Every word of preaching should be from His word. Thirdly, ministers of the gospel, they operate from the realm of honesty and integrity. Yeah. No hidden agendas. No. Okay, no hidden agendas. They operate from the realm of honesty, just as I am. Not practicing. Here's the thing. Ministers of the gospel should practice, or should preach what they already practice. Not practice what they preach, but they should be practicing what they preach already. Okay? So, when we give the word, we just don't give the word and practice it later. We practice the word of God already, therefore we know the word works. That's why from the realm of knowing and understanding that the word of God works, we give the word of God to others. If we're unsure about the word of God ourselves, then that word that we're giving out, although the word has the power, but if we're not convinced ourselves, we're operating from the realm of doubt and unbelief. So as ministers of the gospel, I want to challenge each and every one of us. What is your faith level like when you're giving out the word of God to the people around the world? Do you really believe that the word has the power to change that person's life? It's a challenging thought, isn't it? When I'm preaching what I preach, do I really believe what I preach? Or am I just giving it out because I see it in the Bible? See, the word of God first needs to impact my own world and my own life before I see it impacting other people's lives. The fourth one is this. The ministers of the gospel, their actions should speak louder than their words. Their actions should speak louder than their words. Living a life worthy of the gospel. Living a life worthy of the gospel. See, we have to keep challenging ourselves. Yeah. How are we living for Jesus? Are we only Sunday attenders? Are we only once a week Bible readers? I pray and hope that we don't fall into that category of I only read my Bible once a week. I pray that, we all read our Bibles every day or even 2-3 times a week at least. But let's really challenge our lifestyle. See, I don't need to challenge your lifestyle. You already know what your life's like. See, all I can do is I can challenge my own life through the Word of God. Because each and every one of us, we all have our own challenges. Each and every one of us, we all have our own struggles and our own hurdles. But the thing that we need to really ask ourselves is, where do I want to see myself in 5 years' time? Where do I want to see myself in 1 year's time? Where do I want to see myself in a week's time? Set yourself spiritual goals. That's the only way you'll be able to reach the goals that you've set out for yourself. See, I've set myself a goal this year. I want to read at least 20 books. And that's a goal. You see, and if I don't set myself goals, there are days where I don't like picking up books. There are days where I don't like doing things I love doing. You know, there are days where I'm tired. There are days where I don't want to pick up the Bible. And this is me being completely honest, because I'm tired. But I force myself to do so, because I know if I don't do it, I'm going to be a lazy man with no spirituality. I don't want to preach the gospel and yet not do it myself. I don't want to fall in that stage. And that's why the reason I do what I do is because I want to be an example for Jesus. And come on, ministers of the gospel, let's be an example to the world. Amen. Let's preach what we already practice. Let's preach what we already practice. I'm on my 8th book now. And it's a daily discipline. There are days where I don't feel like I said. But I do that. And that's on top of reading the Word. So we have to set ourselves different spiritual goals and different spiritual priorities. We talked about it Wednesday. We have to learn to say no to small things so that we can say yes to godly things. Okay? We have to learn to say no. Now I say no. And I don't feel guilty about it. Because I know that's not what God wants me to do. It could be a good thing, but is that a God thing? We have to do God's thing. Amen. And lastly, ministers of the gospel, let's continue to stay teachable. Let's continue to stay teachable. Okay? Because the moment you and me get to that place of comfortableness. The moment you and me, we get to that place, hold on a second, I don't need to learn anything new because I know it all. It's a dangerous place. Okay? If anybody comes to me and tells me I know it all, I'm like, hold on a second, I'm staying away from you. I'm staying away from you. Because, you know, we will learn for the rest of our lives, amen? And let's continue to learn for the rest of our lives. Praise God. So verse 22 to 25, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. This comes to what I was saying about preaching and giving to others what we already practice. Do what he says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what he says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard. But doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Amen. They will be blessed in what they do. This brings us to our third practice. The first practice is the spiritual practice of listening. The second practice is the spiritual practice of speaking. We have to speak out. Okay, even if the world might not like what you have to say, you have to give the truth. Okay? We have to declare the truth. We have to continue to declare the truth because we are ministers of the gospel. We preach Christ crucified. Amen? We preach that the only way to salvation is through Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other way. The third spiritual practice is the spiritual practice of doing. The spiritual practice of doing. So how do I start the practice of doing? Firstly, we have to prepare our hearts. Just like Solomon, he said, God, give me a listening heart, a discerning heart. God, give me a listening heart. We have to prepare our hearts. And secondly, we have to be ready for a change. We have to be open to change. See, change is uncomfortable. Change is painful. But change is necessary. Change is necessary. Change is necessary. You see, if you really want to grow in a relationship with the Lord, if you really want to get to that next level of prayer life, you have to implement a prayer routine in your life. I need to implement a prayer routine in my life. If I really want to grow in my understanding of the Word of God, I need to implement some discipline in my life where I devote myself to complete study of the Word of God. And I need to designate a time. Because if you don't make a time, you will never have time. You will run around looking for time, but time will never be there for you. But if you discipline yourself and if you make time, you will always have time. Amen?
Amen.
You will always have time. Either that, but you have to maybe wake up a bit early, or you go to bed a bit late than your usual routine. You see, for me, it's like waking up earlier and reading. That's the only time I get, and you know, throughout other few gaps, squeeze in. You know, but I have designated time, and because there's a goal, the goal pushes me to read it even when I don't want to read it. The goal pushes me to pray even when I don't feel like praying. The goal pushes me to do the things of God even when I don't feel like doing it. Okay, there's a different feel. Okay, even when I don't feel like doing it. It's uncomfortable, but it is necessary. You and me, we have to implement some spiritual changes in our lives. Okay, because I personally want to see each and every one of us grow together. I personally want to see each and every one of us moving in the realm of signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to see each and every one of us proclaiming the truth and giving the full, whole truth. Amen. And standing up for the gospel with a voice proclaiming in the wilderness that Jesus is the only way to salvation. So prepare your heart. Stay open to change. Be willing. It's my third one. Be willing. You have to be willing. You and me, we have to be willing. See, until and unless we're not willing, we will not be able to move forward. See, God gives His church a group of leadership. But until and unless we are willing to be led, we will never be good followers. So if you want to follow Jesus, and if you want to follow His commandments, you have to be willing to follow Him. We have to be willing. So the question is, how do I know if I'm a doer of the Word? How do I know if I'm a doer of the Word? See, rather than asking ourselves, am I doing enough? We need to ask ourselves, am I doing what God wants me to do? Doing enough does not mean we are doing what God wants us to do. We could be doing a lot of good things, but is that really what God wants us to do? See, I'm not saying that we have to completely stop doing the good things. We have to do the good thing. But the real question we need to ask ourselves is, do I want to spend a lot of my time and my energy doing the good thing and missing out the God thing that God wants me to do? Because if God is in control and if God is the one in whom we trust, then surely when God puts that calling in our lives and when we follow that calling and do what God calls us to do, then we are making a difference in the world. See, it's a very challenging thing. We have to do God thing. Amen. We have to do God thing. So I've got four simple questions of self-examination, which might perhaps help us to see if we are doing what God wants us to do. Okay? We've never had this before, so the first question is this. These are some of the questions, self-reflective questions, and I want to share them with us. The first one is my heart being transformed through my time in His presence and His Word? First one is my heart being transformed
through my time in His presence and in His Word. If I am, then the Word is doing a work in me. Amen. Am I growing closer to Christ and in my awe of who He is? Am I growing closer to Christ? See, all the God thing that I do should be drawing me closer to Christ, not pushing me away from Christ. See, sometimes we can get carried away doing the good thing and we can compromise with the God thing. Praying can wait. Reading the Bible can wait. Because I'm doing the kingdom's work, all these things can wait. No. Priorities. Priorities. Keep your priorities right. Get your priorities right. Being in His presence is the main priority. Because if you are well, then you are fit for the kingdom of God. See, we have to think about our spirituality. We have to. There is no other way. We have to think about spirituality. Because when your tank is full, you'll be able to give others from that full tank. But if your tank is empty, what you give is dry manna. And God wants us to operate in that realm of fresh manna. Because God is our ultimate provider. Amen. Third one. Am I living faithfully according to what I'm learning from God's Word? Am I living faithfully according to what I'm learning from God's Word? See, am I living faithfully to the calling that God has placed in me? Are you living faithfully to the calling that God has placed in you? And lastly, how is it affecting the way I live? The decisions I make, what I watch, what I read, and what I listen to. Those are the things that will really display your heart. The things you watch, the things you read, the things that you listen to, the decisions you make. The decisions you make. Who do you choose this afternoon? Will you choose to be in His presence? Or will you choose to not be in His presence? If you are willing, and if you are available, and if you make your heart ready, God will come and God will meet with you. The only reason why we are not hearing from God is because we are not giving Him time. The only time when I don't hear from God is when I don't give Him time. God is always there. But the thing is, I'm not always there. I arrange an appointment with the Lord, then I forget about it, and the Lord's there waiting for me, and I'm not even in that meeting with Him. Because I'm so carried away doing the good thing. But the main thing that I've come to realize is, my priority with the Lord is the main thing. Because if my tank is full of His presence and of His Word, then that will give me the strength to carry on and do His work. Amen. Do His work. So God wants us to be, firstly, listening people. Church, let's be listening believers. Amen. Secondly, God wants us to be speaking people. Let's be speaking believers, speaking the truth. And thirdly, God wants us to be doing people. You listen, you speak, and you do. Three things. Simple. But those are very crucial in our spiritual journey. We have to listen. And we have to speak out. If there's things, you know, that concerns you, you have to speak out. You have a voice. Just remember that. You have a voice. Amen. We have a voice, church. And it's just, everything's not from the front. See, you have a voice, church. You ministers of the gospel. You guys are ministers of the gospel. Remember that. So whenever, when somebody asks you, so what do? Tell them, I'm a minister of the gospel. So what do you do? I'm a minister of the gospel. So what's your profession? I'm a minister of the gospel. So what do you mean by minister of the gospel? Then that gives you an opportunity to share the gospel. And you're doing what you're called to do, ministering the gospel. Amen. Therefore, let us continue to speak. Let us continue to listen. Let us continue to do what God wants us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.